This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
I was willing to put in the time and the energy to make sure that I made this work. And it took me 2 years worth of struggle, but I knew I was moving in the right direction and I had the stick-to-itiveness that it took to stay. So here we are. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Color of Money podcast. You are tuned in for another fantastic episode. We got two of my favorite guys on as my co-host today. We got Daniel Dixon. We got Bowman Keaty. And today, our special guest is none other than Ben Baker. If you're in the DFW, the Dallas metro area, you've heard his name. You know who he is. 34 years in the business in the DFW, luxury agent, 9 times D best realtor. So Ben Baker is going to share with us a number of things. You're going to talk to us today, Ben, about being a luxury agent. You're going to talk to us about leadership, leading real estate teams. You're going to talk to us about wealth building. You're going to talk to us about all the things. But first and foremost, welcome, Ben.
Guys, I'm appreciative and I'm honored to be here because I'm looking at three of the most respected agents. And so thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. And Ben, we actually recently saw each other at NARAB, at the NARAB conference, because you were given an award as one of the top 100 Black real estate agents in the country. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into real estate.
It started when my freshman and sophomore year in college, I worked for a home builder. And I just thought this was a neat industry because I didn't have to sit behind a desk all day. I got to deal with just being out. And I'm kind of physical, right? I'm kind of a big guy. And this was 1983, 84. And seeing this builder in particular, he's a Baylor grad and so am I. And his average home then was about between $3.5 million. And we're talking 1983 and 84. And I thought, that's interesting, right? And so then when my pre-med career at Baylor really was fizzling, I moved into business. And I decided to minor in real estate because I was just driven by it. And I'm just shocked at 34, almost 35 years later, here I am. And I had no idea, you know, who Gary Keller was and that Gary had beat me in graduating from Baylor with a real estate degree. And I followed suit. And I'm just I'm so fortunate and blessed that many years ago, I bet on me. Because I had no idea. I was so naive. I didn't even know what realtors did. No idea. Even when I got a license, didn't know. I just knew that I wanted to work in this space. And I thought that I was going to, I wasn't going to wield a hammer because I knew that wasn't it at all. I thought that I was going to be working more in architectural, maybe drawing and conceptualizing what the space would look like. And overseeing the construction. That's really what I thought I'd be doing in real estate. And that all materialized into helping buyers and sellers with their, I guess, their wealth journey right into real estate. So I'm fortunate and blessed to be here this many years later.
I mean, the amount of things that you've seen in Texas in 35 years of real estate, I can only imagine some of the highs and the lows and the challenges that you've had to overcome to be this successful and in the top 10 Black real estate agents in the country. Tell me a little bit about that journey, Ben. Like what are some of the things that stuck out, some of the things you had to persevere against on that path?
I hear Gary say it all the time. And you know, for those of us, and I think everyone here, we've all been in this space for quite a while. You know, I think I've been through probably, I think Gary always says 7 or 8. And if Gary's been through 7 or 8, reduce mine by a year. I've seen probably 6 or 7 different adjustments in the marketplace from, you know, the S&L crisis, the oil crisis, the real estate recession we went through in, you know, 08, 09, 2010. But I think first and foremost, for me, it's been just about persevering through the challenges that we face. Because I'm in a community here, Plano, Texas. When I was born and raised in this community, folks who look like me represented less than 1% of our total population. And all the minority agents in the Dallas area, they were all South. They were in South Dallas. I didn't know that market because I'm born and raised in Plano. And getting just even my foot in the door was a challenge because I had so many folks who wouldn't open the door. And on the phone back then, you know, we didn't have social media. They didn't know what I looked like. And oftentimes I'd show up at the door, even after having conversations with them, when I'd show up in person, they would now open the door because they didn't realize that I looked like I looked, right? And so not letting that deflate me, I continued to move past that. And I realized that when they know that you know your stuff, right, that you're very competent, then they'll start to look past the way you look and they'll realize the only color that matters is green, right? The fact that I can help you in your pursuit thereof. And so that's been, I think that's been my biggest hurdle, and not getting deflated, not getting defeated, and constantly wanting to hone my craft. And I think everybody here, I see you guys all over, you know, at different functions and around the country, and I pride myself the same at always still learning, still growing. But I would say that the biggest challenge is just continuing to not get down and stay positive. And I think that's the reason why I'm still here and still competing at a high level.
Yeah, it's just fascinating to me because in the generation that we're in now, we see so many people quit and give up so fast. And so I have a lot of respect for you and a lot of our other brothers that have been in this for some time, because you haven't had it as easy as we have it today. You had to fight some real battles and continue to persevere and stay strong. And it's incredibly inspiring, Ben, to be real with you.
I'll tell you, there's one thing that I still kick myself to this day. There was a woman, and I'll call her Diane. And Diane hurt me. And I'm just being vulnerable here, because this was a woman that I had talked to on numerous occasions, right? We had already set an appointment. She was an expired listing probably 34 years ago, 33 years ago. And when we had set an appointment, and when I got to her place and rang the doorbell, she opened it. She's like, can I help you? And I'm like, hey, Diane, it's Ben Baker, right? We had a 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. And her jaw hit the floor. And she wouldn't even let me in the house. And again, she was in Highland Park, a very upscale community. And as a new agent, that hurt me so bad that I never, ever called on another expired listing or for sale by owner. And to this day, that bothers me, because Ben Baker of today, I just let it roll off my back. But as a young and impressionable agent, I was so deflated that I thought, oh, I didn't want to experience that pain ever again. And so I've held that for a long time. I've held it for a long time. I had to get it out. And so I would tell anybody that's listening, don't let a Diane keep you from your goals, right? Now, that might be your pursuit. I don't do for sale by owners and expired listings, but 34, 35 years ago, that's what they taught you to do, to go get listings. And so there it is. Don't let her keep you from obtaining your goals.
Well, Ben, you basically were leading right into my question, because I was going to say, if anyone's familiar with the DFW Metro, the fact that you even were born and raised in Plano is fascinating to me. And then in addition to that, starting real estate in 1988, right? Or 89, you started in 89?
Yes, 89. Yeah, mm-hmm.
89. Well, see, fair housing wasn't even enforced until 1988. So you're in Plano, of all places, in 1989, where they're just now talking about maybe we should enforce fair housing, and you break into a market that most of us don't even live in, like live in that market. The journey in itself is fascinating. And I think you just talked a little bit about overcoming and still, you know, the perseverance, like Daniel was saying. And those are some of the same challenges that I see agents having today when they want to break into luxury markets. In some areas of Plano, it's still a luxury market. You're talking about you were knocking on doors in Highland Park. I'm just like, I was scared where the story was going to go. Yeah, like. But talk a little bit about what advice you would give Ben Baker 30 years ago, or the agents now that are still afraid to knock on a door in Highland Park or call somebody that lives in that area or even Plano, or, you know, help us.
Yeah, I think today when you realize what your pillars are, I think so many, especially when we're getting into this business, we have no idea what, you know, where the business is going to come from or what our pillars are. You know, I think the four of us, we all know that is it your sphere of influence? For me, it's farming, and then it's my events, and it's my agent-to-agent referrals from around the country. But I think when you're brand new in this business, you've got to throw a lot of spaghetti up against the wall to see what sticks, right? And then when you find your lane, then you pour deep into it. I think it's good if you just have partnership, right? Have someone that you can also lean on, or if you're going to go out and canvas a neighborhood or a door knock. Today, I think it's beneficial to have a partner. And it's crazy for me to say this. And again, I think I'm talking with family. In a community like Plano or Highland Park, I think it's beneficial. My assistant, which most of you guys know, she's German. She doesn't look like me. If I was really going to go out, I would take a woman with me. And I hate to say this, but I'd probably also take a woman who racially is not like me, right? Christina is German, tall brunette. I think that might encourage someone to open a door because, again, I'm a big dude, right? And I know folks today, they're just a little leery about even opening a door. So I'd say bring a partner with you and also bring someone of the opposite sex, right? Bring a woman with you. And it's okay. I'd say it's okay if you're both Black. And it's definitely okay if one's Black, one's white, one's Asian. It might encourage somebody to open a door. And I didn't do that back in the day. And I think it's honestly, I think it's a damn shame that I even speak of that today. But I think that's just the way our society has gone, not to be political. But I think that we're more divided today than we've been in forever. And I would say part of that is because of past leadership. We don't buy into that because I don't care what you look like. I don't care which political party you belong to. I'd say like Jordan back in the day, you know, Republicans and Democrats and independents, they all buy homes, right? And I think it's our responsibility to service that community, period.
I want to go back just a little bit because something that's just been hitting me during listening to you talk is this idea that you said you started in Plano, where people of color, you know, we were less than 1% of the population. To what degree do you think the fact that you didn't have an easy community to collapse into forced you out into the world? Because so many people in real estate, whether they're Black, white, whatever, have a community, and that space feels safe to them. And as somebody who actually comes from a biracial family, my mom grew up in Highland Park, my father came from Africa, you never had a place, you didn't fit in. And I'm interested to what degree this idea of not having, I don't know if you had it or not, but to what degree to having to go outside your box to do anything encourage you to go out of your side of your box, period. Because I feel like a lot of us in the industry have some place where we're comfortable and we stay in the place where we're comfortable. And what you find is that a lot of people who've gone outside of that, it actually wasn't even by choice. It was because they started in a space where there was no comfortable space. So I'm just interested in how that concept played into what you've experienced.
Yeah, that's interesting, bro. I've never thought of that. But when you articulate it like that, I think what I did have was in this community, fortunately, we were very, very well respected. And in Plano, especially in the 60s, there's one area called the Douglas community. That's where all the Blacks had to reside, right? And in that community, there were like three families that were the most respected. And the Bakers happened to be one, right? And so growing up in this community, I was a very good student. I was also the best athlete in the city. I was the first quarterback. And so I think there was respect there. And in my high school, there was probably, I see the four of us, there was us times four in that high school. There weren't many. But those kids, they all knew who I was, right? They knew who I was, and there was a respect there. And believe it or not, that is what really propelled my real estate career, because I had walked away from a corporate job, I think in 1989, making $36,000, right? And I'm starting in real estate, and I went to my five-year high school reunion. And this is a long story. I'm making it short. And at that reunion, you know, some of my classmates, we were talking about what we're doing, and I was just graduating, had just graduated from college, and I was working in real estate. And I had two or three of them go, "Hey, Ben, in the next year or two, I think, man, I'm going to be looking to buy a home." That reunion, I ended up selling like four or five of my classmates, and none of them looked like me, right, at all. But the trust was there. And I think it's about trust, and it's about relationships. And that propelled me into really, so 2 years later, I finally made what I had walked away from, but I knew that I was on the right trajectory in real estate, right? And I think because I didn't have that community, it didn't pigeonhole me into, you know, trying to work with the Black community. I just wanted to work with people in Plano. And fortunately, some of those folks knew my name, my reputation, knew that I was a quarterback, knew that I went on to Baylor and graduated from the business school. And so I think that helped me. And boy, it's still something that I struggle with today. Because, I mean, I sell property in Plano, Frisco, and far north Dallas and these different communities. But the one thing I struggle with is the majority of my business, 95% of my business looks like them, the majority, not the minority. I don't know. It's something I've struggled with. I've tried to make sure that I'm trying to educate our people to get us off the fence, because I think it's so important that we have to get out here and compete. And I don't know what it's going to take for me to be able to service more folks who look like us, Julia. And if you guys have any suggestions, I'm willing to listen. So I do shows. I'm on videos. You know, I'm supporting a number of different charities because, like I said, I want us in the game, and I want us out here competing. So that's my struggle.
You just said, let's get out there and compete. What do you think it is about you that's enabled you to compete in the luxury real estate market?
I think the fact that I want it, first and foremost, right? And I let people know that I want to compete and I'm here. And at the end of the day, it's not about the dollar at all. It's about the experience. And I think we all realize that you can have a luxury experience buying a $300,000 home as opposed to buying a $2 million property. I think that people have been willing to trust me because of my caring and my confidence and my competency. That right there will overcome this right here, right? At least I found that in my community. And as long as they know you know what you're talking about, they're willing to overlook the fact that I'm tall, dark, and not very handsome at all, right?
So what were those three things? Caring?
Confidence and competent.
Caring, confidence, and competence.
And competent, yeah. Yep.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
This is so fascinating with having young kids that and encouraging kids to play sports. I think that will to succeed, what happens when you're on a team, no matter how segregated your neighborhoods are, is when you get on that field, you're all working together. And it allowed you to kind of see past the color of your skin, because like we're all on one mission of trying to achieve. And I think that even if whatever sport it is, I just think that team sports is so important to kids, because I think it really builds their minds and builds their desires to compete and fight and win and do those things and allow you to, you know, deal with some adversity and kind of see past it.
Couldn't agree any more than that. And I think all of us were, you know, we're all leading teams. We've all played sports, and regardless of whether it was hockey or basketball and football. And I think even now, I still feel like I'm on this huge team, and it's either our market center, it's Keller Williams, it's this community. I want to see us all succeed at a high level. And so I feel like we've got this huge team. And I think that's what separates us from some of the also-rans is, man, we want to see each other succeed at a high level. And boy, we applaud that, right? We don't have that crab in the bucket mentality at all. And I am so appreciative of that, because everybody I have on Rise and Grind, most folks that I meet, you know, even when we're struggling, we're supporting each other, right? We're applauding each other and we're lifting each other up. And that's been a change, because it wasn't that way 30 plus years ago, but I think it's clearly that way today. And I think if we continue that, then we're going to see the fallout rate for those of us who look like us start to diminish. Because right now in my market, only 10% of new hires in this business make it a full year, right? And a large number of those folks who don't make it look like us. And I think they don't have good mentors. I don't think they've stepped into this space with the right mentality. Sometimes it's about money. And we realize that if you're getting into this space because you think you're going to make a lot of money, you won't make any, right? And you need somebody who's going to be honest. My mentor in the business told me that I needed 2 years reserves. And I thought he was crazy because I had maybe 6 months saved up. But I was willing to put in the time and the energy to make sure that I made this work. And it took me 2 years worth of struggle, but I knew I was moving in the right direction and I had the stick-to-itiveness that it took to stay. So here we are. Let's go. Let's go.
Well, you mentioned Rise and Grind. What is that?
Folks say, oh, it's a podcast. I'm not really on the podcast channels. It's a Zoom show that that all came about during COVID because we were all confined, right? And it was selfish on my part, but I wanted to learn what are other top professionals around the country? What are they doing? What's their velvet rope? And again, your velvet rope is maybe what's one or two things that you're doing at a high level that you're getting business from. I wanted to find out what that was for other people. And so I started inviting folks to join me each and every week. And 3.5 years later, here we are still. And it's just, I'd say that it's kind of a sharing and learning and growing group. And so it's every Tuesday, 10:30 Central. And it's 20 or 25 minutes. And I'll have a guest host and they'll just share leadership, mindset, systems, tools, whatever it is that's on their heart. And I think things that that they're succeeding with, because anybody who joins in, I want to make sure that you get a nugget or two from it, right? My motto is I bring the meat every week. And I think the idea behind that was if you're going to give me 20 or 25 minutes of your time, it needs to be worth it, right? Because we're all busy. And if you're going to give me that time, then I need to make sure you walk away with something. We're not going to waste time with an appetizer, no salad, right? No, no appetizer. We're going straight for the jugular, straight for the meat is what we're, you know, that was the idea behind it. So I'm thrilled that 3.5, probably approaching 4 years next year, we've been doing it. And I will say that over about the last year, year and a half, I've liked the cadence of it because I try to honor and bring on our community for every 3 episodes, typically 2 of them look like us. Because I want us to have an opportunity to share, to shine, and learn from, because there's so many of us doing just amazing things. And oftentimes we don't end up on stage with Gary Keller, but we deserve to be applauded and lifted. And I'm just excited to do that. And I've had great success with it here recently, especially.
When you think about the almost 4 years that you've been doing that, you talked about having these nuggets. Are there any like macro nuggets that you've taken away over the time? Some like timeless nuggets from the last 4 years that you see as commonalities between what you've heard?
I mean, the biggest is, and I don't know if Emmerich created this, but, you know, relationships can take us places that money can't. And I think we've all said that. We all know it. But I think that's been the overriding, the biggest nugget I've gotten. And I realized that, again, because we're this huge community and we're so supportive of each other, I see that lifting us all, that whole what rising tide and boats thing, right? And I think that if we'll just not lose sight of that, that we're all in this together, there's no competition, it's only collaboration. And if we remember that, then at the end of the day, we're all going to be standing on the stage together, lifting each other up and applauding each other. So let's just continue that, right? In our market, one of the top Coldwell Banker agents, she thinks that we're crazy at Keller Williams, that we share so much of what we do. She feels like I've done this for 30 years and she's created all this. And I'm like, you ain't created anything, right? There's nothing new really under the sun. There's those that do and those that don't, right? I was long-winded about answering that. But for me, it's been relationships. And I love the fact that I think now we're so cognizant of when we do travel, when we do see each other, that there's hugs, there's kisses, there's embraces. And that right there is the biggest difference I've seen in the last 34, 35 years. Because when I got into this, there was very few of us who traveled, very few of us who attended conferences and trainings. And when we saw each other, it was awkward, right? And when I approached you, you were like, well, damn, what does he want? I'm like, I didn't want anything other than to introduce myself. So you know that you've got a trusted contact here in the DFW area if you ever needed it, right? I wanted to know who you were. And like I said, it was awkward 34, 35 years ago. Today, it's expected. You know, I think when we see each other, oftentimes it's like it's daps and it's hugs and it's kisses. And I love that. I love it. And I think we just need to continue doing that.
Ben, you've mentioned a number of times that being a community, a Black community, and celebrating each other and lifting each other, we all rise and all of these things. I don't know if y'all have noticed, I haven't said anything since you made a comment because it's been sitting here and I've been trying my hardest not to say it, but I have got to address it. There's a lot of Black women that listen to this podcast and they are dependent on me. But you mentioned early on about if you go out and things, take a white woman with you, right? And I'm wondering, Bo, if you felt that way when you and Kimber built your empire, if you felt it was necessary for you to take a white woman with you.
I will tell you this. As a 6'5", 300-pound man of color with a sharp mind and a quick tongue, I have many times brought somebody else with me to do things. When we opened in Bethesda, Maryland, I hired my title attorney, who was a 60-year-old white man, to open that office. And when I went into that office, not a single person ever acknowledged me as the owner. They thought he owned the office. So I do believe that as you move through life, if you are real about the world around you, mm-hmm. and you are real about how people see you, there are echelons of life which you will not conquer unless you accept that other people see you through a certain lens and you figure out how to move through that. Mm-hmm. I think that there are ways to address that. There are times to fight it, and there are times to realize what it is and to realize when it puts constraints on you. And I believe that there's, you know, what my real answer is, I think there's times where you have to stand up and stand for something. And I also believe there's too many people today that think they can stand for something, but they're standing on nothing. And they haven't accomplished anything. So you can say whatever you want. But if you actually open up your aperture of what is the world, what is actually available to you around this amazing thing called Earth, then you'll start to understand that we are living in a dynamic of Black and white in one single country. We're not even thinking about the dynamics of race and interaction around the world. So my point is, yeah, I think there are times when you need to go somewhere. I don't know if this be a white woman. It could be two. It could be for Kimber and I. It was oftentimes as a couple when we did that and as we were building the business. But there's people that relate to Kimber that would never relate to me and vice versa.
Yeah.
And I know that in building into new markets, I have done that. We raise money in a gender split team.
Well, I think the idea as well, by what you're saying, is it's the goal. The goal for you owning that office and having your title attorney drive was not to get the clout on owning the office. It was to get the finances of owning the office. And so you understand the game plan. Right.
If you have a mission, I mean, I think, Ben, you said this earlier. You said, I wanted to get out and compete. And so when I go to compete, I got to realize the landscape in which I'm competing. And if I have a disadvantage, whether it's right, wrong, fair or not, I'm going to figure out how to overcome it because I'm here to compete. And by the way, I'm not here just to compete. I'm here to win.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I hope you didn't miss my point. And I think for me, it was having a partner with me. And I'm just more comfortable if it was Kimber or Christina or having a female. And it didn't hurt for me to have one who was completely of a different hue and color than me. I think, Bo, you said it. How are you competing at a high level? I think I've owned four different real estate offices, and in every one, I'm the only one who looks like me. And I was okay with that, but I needed to make sure that I was in bed with the right people, right? The right group and the right community to win and lead. And so I've made pretty good decisions so far. And so here we are.
You look at when I bought the office 2 years ago, I didn't do what Bo did. I'm like, yes, we finally got a black owner in Colorado, guys. Let's go. And that did not go very well. Yeah, it didn't go very well. So it's real interesting, hardcore. Yeah. Real hardcore. Because I thought everyone would be excited. I thought like we're changing lives, we're doing things, and it's not. I was naive in thinking about how people would perceive it because I was so joyful in the achievement that has been had, and it's been a long time coming.
The point, though, is partnership. The point is partnership matters, and you have to know what you're partnering on, right? Because you partner with certain people in life as your life partner. You partner with people in business, and awareness of your partner, respect for your partner, and what people bring to the table is, I think, really important. So, Julia, thanks for checking us all us guys on that.
That's all I had to say about it. I'm done. Yeah.
If Julia's being quiet in an episode, we know something's stewing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's coming. So I was going to ask, as somebody who's had the opportunity to do that alongside a strong black woman, alongside all sorts of different people as we went into different markets, one of the things I'd be interested in hearing from you, Ben, and also from Daniel and Julia, is there's a duality in being a person of color in this country, where your identity, you are always the one who must morph or must change when you enter a mainstream culture. And so I'm really interested, Ben, how did you maintain, because you seem very grounded. You don't seem, how do you maintain the things that are true to you while also being aware of when, you know, that is affecting the surroundings around you? So how do you both, you know how to approach people who might shut the door and be scared of you at the door? You're hyper aware. You were hyper aware. You started this segment. Hyper aware of how do people perceive me as a large person of color when I knock on the door. Yet at the same time, Ben is Ben. And Ben is awesome. And Ben has things that he values. So how do you, as you move through these different worlds where you oftentimes have to be super cognizant of how other people see you, how do you bring yourself with you into those spaces and express that?
That's tough to answer. You know, early on when I was young, it was difficult to do because I did. I felt like I had to really morph into, on the phone, I don't sound like the majority expects us to sound, right? Like, hey, bro, what's happening, dog? Give me some of this, give me some of that. That's what they expect, but that's not what they got, right? I mean, I am who I am. I don't put on airs at all. The me of today, actually, I have to scale it back because I'm able to flip the switch because the public sees me as a very social butterfly, extrovert big time. The reality is in the real estate space, that's me. I'm not that, I think, normally. I like to sit back and observe and people watch. And so when I flick that switch, my alter ego is Ben Baker Dealmaker. And when I step into that space, that I'm very gregarious, I'm very flamboyant, because I think today people who invite me in, who hire me, that's what they expect. And the crazy thing is, when I say I have to dial it back, because when I'm invited into your home, as soon as I cross your threshold, I start barking orders. I tell you exactly what you need to hear, maybe not what you want to hear. And I think that's why people hire me today. And it has taken some time to gain that confidence now that, you know what, if you like me, you like me. If you don't, that's okay, because I will attract the right tribe. I'm overly confident today. And I like I said, I've had to scale that back a little bit because with some folks, they're bothered and intimidated by that. But I think my tribe, they appreciate it. And it's helped me grow my business, especially in the luxury space.
I think this idea of when you have the humility and the awareness to understand that your context is not the context of others, and yet you have the confidence to remain who you are as you navigate that context, that's actually what creates connection. The sort of polarity we have in our world today is about people staying with people who think the same as them, listening to news that tells them the same stuff they already believe, doing the same thing over. And that requires no sense of self. But when you understand that there's a context beyond you and you have the courage to move into that new context And you do so with enough backbone to remain who you are, confident and comfortable in what you are. You actually create the bridges that connect people. And in terms of real diversity and inclusion and real progress in this country, I think that's how that happens.
That's good, Bo.
Well, it's been quite a session.
I was going to say, anything, Ben, if there was one thing you would want to leave with our listeners, what is the one thing you would want everyone to know about succeeding in real estate?
I think if you have a safety net in this business, it's easy then to let that net catch you and go, oh, okay, well, I tried it. It didn't work, right? I'm now on to option number two. I think that when you really want it and you understand that if you're motivated by community, if you're motivated by people, if you're motivated by relationships, right? If you're motivated by service, then you know what, man, this is an amazing opportunity for you. And if those boxes are all checked, then I think you'll be very successful in this business. If you're motivated because you know a Bo and you know Julie and Daniel, because the problem we have today is that we make it look easy.
Yeah.
And it's not. We make it look easy. And so those that know us, they're like, oh, man, I can do some of that. I might not hit Ben status, but even if I'm 2, 3, 4 rungs under that, man, I'm doing very well. I think it's our responsibility now as a community to start sharing not just the celebrations, but the struggles, right? That this is a very tough business. And I just closed 2 days ago, I think, yesterday, I closed an amazing couple who looks like us. And I love that. But they had a foreclosure, right? They put together a strategic plan to get out of that, and they've now bought 4 properties. And so when I tell their story, I'm going to make sure that I mention all of that, because it's important that people see, and I don't really pop bottles, right? For me, it's just about a photograph at the closing table, but I want them to know, my public, to see that struggle, and that if the want to is there, then the how to shows up. That's important to me. And so we should all start telling that story that this is tough. This is a tough industry. But at the end of the day, when we're there and when we're all pulling in the right direction, then, boy, we celebrate. We celebrate big. So let's continue.
Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us on this episode of the Color of Money podcast. Thanks, Ben.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.